Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode number 191 of the Ant King Frequency. How are you going there, Larry?
Not too bad. Hope everybody's Christmas was nice. Antonio's playing with his toys. He's playing little Iron Man. He can't get enough of a little Tony Stark in his hands.
I found a whole heap of old toys of mine. This one obviously is from the first Iron Man film in the Mark II armor. My kids and I have been having a hoot. I back in the day only bought good toys. So these are those Kotobukiya toys with all the Revoltech parts that all come off and are interchangeable. There's his hand.
You reenact RoboCop, but with Iron Man.
Yeah, no. Anyway, yeah. So I digress. But that for me, that probably sums up way early in the piece. A highlight of 2018 as my kids get older. I've just been able to connect to them. It's not the Matrix. It's not Avatar. Connect with them way better. And derive more enjoyment from this connection. I guess I've pretty much the cat's out of the bag on this one. This is going to be our 2018 year in review episode, and maybe a little bit more. In the past, this time of year, we've done a year in review. We've done a few other things that we do at the end of the year. We're going to try and compress it all into one, because, well, let's be honest. 2018 had some things going for it, but not much, it seems, in retrospect.
And the things that we had going for it, I didn't care to participate in, namely your Black Panther or your Avengers, Infinity War, this, that. I could care less.
Well, let's dive straight in, considering you've brought up the topic of film. So what this is going to be, ladies and gentlemen, is our highlights of 2018. So you mentioned some of the highest grossing films of 2018. I mean, if we've got to go to a list here, you mentioned the top two there. Avengers Infinity War, grossing, $2 billion worldwide. Black Panther with $1.3 billion worldwide. Jurassic World in the third spot. Incredibles 2. Venom, very surprising, fifth spot at $800 million. Mission Impossible Fallout, haven't seen that. Deadpool 2 in seventh spot. Bohemian Rhapsody in eighth spot. And if you ask me, Bohemian Rhapsody's still got some juice on it because it's still on screens here. I don't know about over there.
I've seen it on advertised, but yeah, I haven't checked it out, mainly because it's like Bryan Singer joint.
Then Ant-Man and the Wasp with number 9 and in 10th spots, which is surprising considering how it was universally lambasted. Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, part of the Harry Potter universe, but
that just came out a lot. It's like a little over a month ago.
Yeah, but it was caned by critics and viewers alike, it seems.
People still go see a train wreck. That's the problem. Well, unless you're like that Fantastic Four, the Josh Trank Fantastic Four, which wasn't as bad as people said, but that was
a while ago. Very, very enjoyable film.
Yeah, I really wish they hadn't softened it by the end. I wanted more David Cronenbergian. Because you got to think, you don't just turn invisible or turn into a rock or turn into a rock monster or burst into flames or stretch without it being nightmarish. And I don't want the Marvel formula. I want somebody to say, you know what, we get what you're saying, but we're going to go and do something totally different. It's like Elseworlds, because it's not going to be the same as comics. But
no, it was very clearly going in a direction the executive producers took it elsewhere. But that's not a 2018 problem. Of those 10 films, how many did you see?
One.
Right.
Can you take a guess which one?
I know for a fact, because you told me just before, my memory's not that bad. I mean, we established I've got a great memory for the trivial, but my short-term memory is not that bad. Deadpool 2 you saw?
Yes, I did. And I saw it, and I was a little hesitant, admittedly, going into it. The end stuff made me laugh, the little credit stuff that was hilarious. The movie, it started out kind of slow. If I like a movie a lot, I'll buy it on. If I like it a lot, I'll buy it like on Blu-ray.
Yeah,
I do still believe in physical media because why buy it physical? You can get it digital until there's a screw up. I can hook a generator up and run my TV, run my Xbox One, play my Blu-rays. I'm fine. But no internet. You don't have your access to your little digital movies unless you've downloaded them for whatever means. But I have not bought that on Blu-ray. I've had the opportunity since it's been out. I've had the opportunity to buy it.
Yeah.
Had zero interest in buying it, seeing it again. Juggernaut was nice. I liked some of the Cable stuff. The X-Force get together, kind of whatever, the Deadpool's team. It was fun and dumb, but it wasn't as good as the first.
No.
It was like maybe one notch below. I did laugh out loud a lot. If you don't have a big old pile of cement to bury the Juggernaut in, or you don't have a psychic to tear off his helmet and then have a psychic knock him out.
You got an electric pool, so that counts for something.
No. You have a swimming pool, you have electric cable, you just give him an electric cable enema.
Oh, that's true.
That was an interesting way to take him down. But there, other than that, I mean, it wasn't like, and yeah, it was, I said, it wasn't that bad. It was a little under the rung as the first movie, but everything else, I had zero interest in seeing the Avengers stuff, the Infinity War. Same thing with Black Panther. It's like, Black Panther, let me guess, he's going to fight a variation of himself at the end of the film. I was thinking that when they first announced the movie, it's going to be like Iron Man, where what did Iron Man do? He fought another Iron Man. It's exactly. And so what happens? Oh, he fights Killmonger in his own Black Panther suit. Like, the Pink Floyd, the Wall video where people, the kids are being dropped into the meat grinder. I wish I could have a movie theater and like these people going to see these Marvel movies like drop into a meat grinder. Like the entire family turns into a big old hamburger.
Look, the one thing Black Panther had going for it, in my opinion, was the villain, was Killmonger being played by Michael B. Jordan. That that guy has something, and you see it.
He does.
You see it even in Fantastic. He's one of the highlights of that film.
Yeah, he is, and I enjoy his work, especially Creed. And I kick myself for not getting around to see Creed 2, but it was in theaters locally. But it was like an hour away.
Oh, really? It's still showing here. I'd like to see it.
The just getting over there to go see it because there is my local theater, which normally would show it, they had storm damage from the hurricane a couple months back. So we'd have to go to about an hour away to go see it, and then it's at the tail end of town. So to get there, it's such a backwards way. It's easier to leave the movie theater and go home than it is to get the theater itself. Yeah. One of those things. But yeah, I mean, I like the guy but the formulaic Marvel stuff and then the whole Wakanda and then the embarrassed, like the advertising here in the States, this is our time. Like, you're not talking about me, are you, folks? It's like,
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's very clear. Hollywood has identified so much money to justly be found in certain cultural, ethnic and gender based markets. So yes. We all know about the pink dollar. The black dollar is even more lucrative because
people are surprised about it. I'm like, they had their whole subgenre during the 70s, blaxploitation films. Yeah. People forget this stuff. Dolomite, Shaft.
Cleopatra.
Hell, Cleopatra's coffee. Coffee's my favorite, though. I love coffee. Pam Grier. Like, the whole fact that she's, playing this, kind of drugged-up heroin chick. And you're like, we're going to take it back to there. And then she's all feigning it. And she's like, boom, blows my way a double salt off. Yeah, love my Pam Grier. But
yeah, it's that was subversive. Blaxploitation is subversive in culture. Whereas this whole new phase is Because blaxploitation is, in many instances, black people making money off it. Whereas, yeah. I'm telling you now, Kevin Feige doesn't have a trace of African-American in him.
I'm pretty sure, and as much as they like to tout, we're so progressive, and I hate them all. God, I'm just whatever. But, you wouldn't have waited till we got to have a person that could actually battle Thanos. Let's do a Captain Marvel movie that's a prequel. So it's kind of stuff. But yeah, there's none of these movies that interest me. Though this year has been a tumbleweed would imply there was life at one time. This is a barren rock. This is,
well, look, I've seen five of those films in the top 10, and the most surprising for me, enjoyment wise,
let me guess Venom.
Yeah, that's it.
I really enjoyed it. That's what's so funny about it. It's like I first saw the trailers and stuff. Oh God. And there was a deleted scene. They apparently in that movie, because I'd seen it recently, the deleted scene of somebody posted online. It's like, why do they cut this scene from the movie? I haven't seen the movie, but I was like, this scene's great. It's Eddie in a taxi cab with Venom talking to him.
I've seen it. Yeah.
And then, it's like, don't be a dick. And all they think of was like, you're saying, and it's like, and that right there, you got to think, the symbiote processing, like trying to communicate with a modern human. This, million-year-old symbiote that's seen the stars and universe. This, it would be like, that's how it would communicate. Like, break it down.
The film was like a 90s Spawn crossed with the Maximum Carnage video game. It was stupid and fun.
Well, hopefully the CGI was better than Spawn.
The CGI was much better than Spawn. CGI was great. The third act was shocking. The whole climax and pacing of where the film is building to and where it ends up going is a completely ruined opportunity. Again, you could smell the executive producer saying, this won't test well. We need to put in a rocket ship that's going to blow up the world and Venom has to get in there and stop the rocket ship. And, just basically the giant metal spider at play. I don't know why these people are even allowed to release films, because, if it was going where the film set up from the start, it would be far more interesting. But yeah,
they do Barbara Streisand's hair. That's the reason they'd be able to be movie producers. Yeah, well, there we go. That just shows you how twisted the system is. But so other than Deadpool 2, I haven't seen any. That's like the only movie I saw. And as far as TV goes this year, you were reading off a list of these shows. Like, I maybe heard like one or two of them. And then the rest of them, I was like, who cares about this stuff? It's like, it's one of those who cares kind of things. Well, look, but
the TV highlights for me this year aren't on anyone's lists. I don't know why. I absolutely loved Lost in Space, the remake. Huh? Oh. Yeah, I know. That went great places by the end. I was very disappointed with the first episode, but it just hit some great highs. This is also going to make you sneer. Season 3 of Daredevil was the best Netflix Marvel joint released to date.
Well, I don't think this will be a problem anymore.
No. Well, they've clearly not done it for any other reason other than Marvel being able to have their property for their own network. That's clearly why it's been done.
I heard there's rumblings that the whole reason they're killing the Netflix Marvel stuff is because that's Ike runs that, Perlmutter.
Right.
That they kill that, they could take away and then like put it underneath the Feige banner stuff, because that's, people forget. See, when people say it's part of the MCU, no, it's not. It's like they're related, but it's like, hey, he's my best friend. It's like, don't put your hands around me. It's like trying to buddy up with a photograph and no, don't do that. But so you like your Daredevil season 3.
Yep, I really liked Star Trek Discovery. There we go. Another one you did not like. Anti-Larry mix.
The anti-Larry. Wow.
I really enjoyed watching Voltron on Netflix as well. In fact, the final season just dropped. I've got to watch that. I guess it counts as TV because it's kind of a TV special, but that Coen Brothers joint, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, that was really enjoyable.
You tell me about that.
Yeah. I guess that's it for TV for me. What about you, mate?
Man, for me, it's a desolate world, a dead world. I enjoyed it for what it was to a degree that was a little too heavy handed sometimes. That the Jack Ryan series that Amazon put out with Jim from The Office and Bunk from Bunk Moreland from The Wire fighting terrorists. And it was there was a sequence in it. Like, I'd seen some horrific stuff in movies and TV shows and stuff, but there's a part where they bring these dead terrorists in. One of the terrorists happens to not be dead, but he is wearing a dead terrorist basically suit. He's like wearing dead flesh on his body. Then he goes into another dead terrorist corpse, pulls out like a G-36, PDW, a personal defense weapon, basically a submachine gun and grenades and a tactical vest. And the dude just like goes like, he's like ransacking a corpse for weapons. It's like, all right, no matter how much, how well or whatever the rest of this right here, you've earned a light spattering of applause,
a lot
considering how twisted that is. But my favorite show of the year happened to be Man in the High Castle, which came back, and you got Rufus Sewell, you got Tom Root, Bill from King of the Hill. Stephen Root, not Tom Root. What am I thinking? They delve into more, like the more science fictiony elements of the show, and like there's certain stuff in there. I was like, oh, that's great. I mean, it was a wonderful show. I really dug it, and it's like one of these things. Like there's certain stuff that they set up, and I was like, that makes no sense. And by the end of the like, just like you're so confused and kind of put on your heels, like, oh, what's going on? And you finally stuff starts making sense for you. But I, you know, trying to stick to the highs, but oh my god, I should have stayed away from the CW TV shows, that Legends of Tomorrow, all that Legends of Tomorrow, Flash, Arrow, Supergirl.
Yeah, I tried tuning in a couple of times, and it just didn't work for me, man.
It's not good, man. It's not good at all. And they, like, I was telling Antonio about it. He's like, yeah, you're not really selling me. I was like, no, I'm not selling. I'm warning you. It's not good. It's not good at all. But really, that has been it. That has been as far as like my new programming goes. Like everything else is something I've either rewatched, or come back, you know, to, hadn't seen in many years, and it's or seen ever. And it's getting more like that. It's like my time is valuable, and I try to put it with, you know, stuff that's good. I mean, that's a running theme for me lately.
Yeah, true, like, true.
Best of the best.
Well, what about video games? Because this is going to be a short list for me.
One video game. I actually looked this up. I was like, what games did I buy this year? And I can actually look it up right now. I got my games and apps list on my Xbox.
Ooh, fancy.
And as far as new games this year, because I'm also going to go to games I have ready to install. The ones I've uninstalled means I've beat them or played them. I think this game might have come out this year. Let me see. I'm not 100% sure, because it's like if we found out that there are certain, like, oh yeah, this came out this year, and that, like, nope, turned out not to be the case. Like, where time has been very confusing for me.
Yeah.
But
look, while you look that up, I'm holding the only game made in 2018 that I bought in 2018. So I got a few that were made earlier.
Actually, and me and you are in the same thing, because every game I have, there was one of the game turned out came out in October 2017. But yes, Red Dead Redemption 2, I beat it.
I just installed it today, so yeah.
You've gotten pretty far for being just installed. I've seen your progress, my friend. I've seen your progress.
Oh, but, really? So I completed chapter 1. That's far, is it? How many chapters are there?
I, There's quite a bit. Oh, chapters good. Are kind of long.
As, oh, good. You know, okay. I thought chapter one was like a tutorial type thing.
It pretty much is, but the game is like a 60-hour game. So if you do like most of the side missions, if you're going to do all the side missions, this would be at least 60. To. Yeah, but yeah, Red Dead Redemption 2, Rockstar doing their thing, Western game, great story, great character. It the main character Arthur Morgan, I like him a lot more than I liked gruff voice James Marsden, John Marsden from the first game. From
who's voicing Dutch in Red Dead Redemption 2?
I don't know the. I looked it up previously because I was thinking this guy sounds a. The guy reminds me vocally a lot of
Jeff Bridges.
I was thinking the character wise he reminds me a lot of how he played Rourke in Sin City. Oh man, what's his name?
Clive Owen.
No, Rourke, the businessman, the senator, the big boss man, the guy that's the bad guy. He's dead now. He was in Deadwood. He was in Red Dawn. I could picture him in my head. Oh my God. I can't. Okay. This is the kind of stuff I hate, folks. It's like, I can, you know, he's got a gruff voice. Oh man. Ain't this fascinating, folks, to hear, I know it. I normally would know it.
Here you go. Powers Booth.
Powers. Yes, that's him. That's him. Very Powers Booth with, with Dutch.
Yeah, no, the voice of Dutch here is Benjamin Byron Davis. But for me, it sounds very, very Jeff Bridges. You know, the older Jeff Bridges would come to know. Yeah. Biodigital jazz, man.
But it's good stuff. It's a really good game. I kind of wish it was like I had alternate ending to it because I wanted something else to happen. I want to be able to choose because like, wait a second, I know what I could do with this, but it won't let me do it.
Yeah, don't you dare spoil it.
Aliens, man. Aliens. No, there is a little quest where it's a little thing. It's like, no, it's not main story quest or anything.
Oh, yeah, you go in a cabin and there's green lights or something.
No, ain't just a cabin. It's there was, if anybody remembers the cult where they drank the Kool-Aid were the Nikes and everything.
Yeah.
There is a cabin where there are people lying dead in the cabin. They got their like boots on their underneath blankets, lying dead in the cabin. And you go in there, and then you a little glow lights up the cabin. You look up through the roof of the cabin's that slats missing. You look up, there's a UFO, and then it takes off into space. So it's like the UFO did come and take their spirits, but they had to die first. Or the UFO is like, look at these idiots. But that was like this like a slightly one off thing. There's some really good side quest stuff. If I hadn't looked up, I wouldn't have realized. Like, I looked up how to start them.
Yeah.
There's one with not Nikola Tesla. I'll just say this: the mission, quote unquote, call it not Atomic Robo. I'll just say that much.
Oh, okay. That sounds very interesting.
That's all I'll say.
But, a little bit of this kind of action.
Are you going to focus on this? Like, this is, he is playing with toys, folks. I think he's regressed like maybe 20 years.
I'm in the middle of annual leave. I took 2 weeks off, and it's great. 2 weeks. There you go, another earworm. But yeah, I just rediscovering my youth, I guess. He says, staring down Iron Man's gusseted backside. Last but not least, then, music.
When I say desolate, barren world, there's no world anymore. There's a black void. There is like no. Antonio hit me with, "Hey, what's your music for this? You know, this year?" Like, I'm like, "There's like nothing." I was like, "Not even video game music. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing."
I thought but Drake's God's Plan would be really high on your list.
You're a very funny man. You're a very funny guy.
No, Oh, okay. No. Fine. I thought I really thought you'd be dropping a lot of Post Malone on us this week.
You know, if somebody hadn't made a joke about that guy, I wouldn't even know if that guy existed.
Really?
Someone made a joke about that, and I was like, who is this? I had to look it up.
That guy looks like someone you would invent as a bad guy in one of your real-world-based comics.
Oh, I've kind of run into some very sketchy people in my life and in my line of works.
He looks like someone who would, yeah, you would name and shame in your comic strips.
But,
he even looks like you drew him. He's got a very certain, chin line and head.
Oh my
width
God.
That is like your... You've Steve Dillon'd him, haven't you?
Oh, my God. He's a tulpa. He's a creation of my imagination brought forth. Why can't it be one of these superpowered, other characters that could do my bidding? No, it's gonna be some crap internet famous rapper whatever. But hopefully you can pull us out of the music.
Yeah, look, I guess we'll cut to it. Ladies and gentlemen, here's my half of the 2018 mix. We'll cap it off here so you've got something to listen to. We've taken enough of your time. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been, will be, and was the year 2018. We really look forward to talking to you some more in 2019. Happy
New Year. See you next year, folks.
The Amp King of Frequency.
I'd always say fingers like other words like that. A greasy glottal on the G when others like it lay flat, like they've been taken to by some alphabet swinging ringer. Some bitter clinger with an appetite for claptrap. So let's sort it, bring us fields of level lay, replace the rover with a winger, like all singing sounds the same, like you've got demons ringing bells inside your skull till you're insane. Bitter ringing in your brain. Bitter ringing. Bitter ringing. Bitter ringing in your brain. The time is ripe. Fingers, oh good fellows, do not linger. While you're at it, in prison or the chingers too. Oh, pretty soon there'll be nothing left to cling to for all you bitter clingers, bitter clingers, bitter clingers. For all you bitter clingers. Presidential plague stingers, bitter clingers, bitter clingers, bitter clingers. Oh, you bitter clingers, bitter clingers, bitter clingers. Why don't we say it fingers like other words like that? The greasy glottal on a G when others like it lay flat, cause it's a finger and it's permanently raised. Are you so dumb you confused it for a thumb?
We'll be right back. pressure's rising, it's so intense.
When we get silent,
we're making diamonds. There's no need to say it, baby.
We're making diamonds.
Cause I can tell you need it. I'm all over the tip of your tongue.
We're making diamonds.
You got me spaced out.
Relax.
Got me reading in between.
She holds a picture up while she studies my eyes. I'm trying hard to recall the routine, but I can't, so I improvise. It's ones of my father.
Here a minute ago. Yeah, but I don't know. sheep is dead, got a gash as big as a wolf's head.
Big and fat, how pigs supposed to look like that? He's wallowing in lanolin, he's rubbing it into his pigskin. The police are going crazy. Let's get him, let's get that wolf, let's get him, let's get that wolf, let's get him. Court appointed lawyer wasn't very bright. Oh, maybe he was bright. Maybe it was just a late night. Yeah, it was a late night. He filed some feeble appeal, and the governor says, forget it. It's a done deal. He says, objections, elections. I don't care. I'm gonna give that wolf a lethal injection. Let's get him. Let's get that wolf. Let's get him. Here come the media, iPhones and cameras, asking everyone's opinion about pigs, sheep, and wolves. Protesting the behavior. It's animal behavior. It's animal behavior. Sheep and wolves.
The Uncanny Frequency. Copyright 2018 by White Tiger Graphics.